Welcome to Have Roots, We'll Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin-Stoltari, and I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. For those of you just joining me, this YouTube channel has a lot of different places that I want to go, but right now I'm focusing on a series on Les Filles du Roi, which are the king's daughters, and trying to get as many of them profiled as possible. Regular viewers know that I'm actually up to number 59, and we are enjoying getting to know these amazing women that are truly the founding mothers of not only Quebec, but in many cases, North America. Now, if you have a feature one that you'd like me to feature, please, in the comments below, write down her name and I'll see. I will definitely get back to you and let you know if she's on the list. And if she's not, she gets put on the list. And I will, endeavor to get those done as quickly as possible. If you need to contact me, I do have a website, Have Roots Will Travel. You can write to me at lisa@haverootswilltravel.com and love to hear from you. And also, I have a Facebook page called Have Roots Will Travel and Twitter as well. So with that being said, let's get started, okay? The Filles du Roi program was one that was begun in 1663 by Jean Talon, the intendant of New France at the time. I go into great length about the program, the ins and outs of it, in a video that I did called Les Filles du Roi, the program 2.0. It's on the channel. Have a look at it. It will give you really a good perspective. Certainly, if you are trying to learn what this program was all about, this definitely will give you at least a very, very brief introduction as to what your great-grandmother or ancestor had to go through in order to get to New France. So the lady we're featuring today is someone I just picked out of, not out of a hat. I picked her for a specific reason that we will find out about. And so she's not related to anyone that I have in my files or I haven't had a viewer request her, but her name is Anne Lemaître. And let's get to know Anne a little bit. So Anne would have been born in 1618. This should give you a tip off. Regular viewers know that this is much older than the average Filles du Roi. The church, she was born in Saint-Remy Parish in Dieppe in the Normandy region of France. You can see on the map, I've circled Dieppe, so you can see it's right on the sea, obviously. The church where Anne would have probably been baptized, it was built in 1522. It's the one on your extreme left, replacing the 13th century building. Dieppe is a city on the sea, as I've said, with its beginnings in 1030. It was a true jewel in the crown of both France and England with its strategic locations. Many famous explorers and cartographers come from this area. And it's actually renowned for seafood and scallops. Don't you wish you could go? Throughout the Protestant Wars in the Middle Ages, many Protestants, known as Huguenots, left from Dieppe to escape persecution and make new lives in the Americas. So let's get to know Anne's journey from Dieppe. On the 27th of April, 1637, in Dieppe, Anne marries Louis Roy. So she is already married. When many of the Filles du Roi were not even born yet. So this gives you an idea. Nicolas was born in France and married Jeanne Lelièvre. He would have 10 children, 8 of whom reached adulthood. So sometime before 1663, Anne is widowed. And she decides she wants to become a Filles du Roi, and she embarks on this program, even though at this point she's about 45 years old. Remember, a Filles du Roi needed to get married and essentially produce children. So she could obviously still produce children, theoretically. So she has the one son, and they embark on this, and they come to New France on June 30th, 1663, on that very first boat. Her new husband was Adrien Blanquet de Fougeat, who was born in 1605. He's 13 years older than Anne, and he was also a widower. He came to New France with his daughter Marie and son-in-law Jean Leclerc. Anne and Adrian were born within 12 miles of each other. I just think that's amazing. You know, there they are in New France and they find each other. So he was born in the Saint Pierre parish of Bacqueville-en-Caux. So you can actually see how close, Dieppe would have been to there. So just amazing. I actually did the Google map to see how close it is. I'm always fascinated how this happens. On the 7th of November, 1663, Adrian and Anne, I just love that, were married. He was 58 and she was 45. I like to think it was a love match. At least I like to think so. So in Orléans, Adrian and Anne, settled down in Orléans in the St. Lawrence River. It's an island. You can see it right there on the left, right near Quebec City. It's subdivided into six sections right now. So you need to know that when you're evaluating and researching your particular ancestry. Are they from Saint-Famille? Are they from Saint-Jean? Are they from Saint-Laurent, Saint-Pierre, and on? So you really need to know specifically what parish they came from. Indolia has been said to be really truly a microcosm of traditional Quebec because so many people can trace their ancestry to at least one pioneer of there. There's actually a monument at Indolia for the 300 founding families. And so it really is quite it really is the birthplace of so many French Canadians. The island itself was named different names. So again, you need to know that because they'll say Grande Île, Sainte-Marie, Saint-Laurent. So different names, but eventually it was changed to Île d'Orléans in honor of the second son of King Francis I, who was Henri II, and he was happens to be the Duke of Orléans. So they named it Île d'Orléans. And the early French settlers were really attracted to the island because of its fertile soil. And in 1661, the very first parish of Saint-Famille was founded, followed by all the rest of the parishes that we described. And you can see on the bottom left how green and how vibrant and beautiful this island is. It really is picture perfect place. And also, I've included a picture that I was given to me. When you go to the island, you're visiting different places. It really is kind of trapped in time, somewhere in time, place where really and truly, this is happens to be the cheese making place, and I thought it was kind of very traditional. There's something about Quebec and cheese. You must remember that. And also, I want to point out to you that by 1681, Adrienne and Anne are still, going strong. He's 76 by now, and she is 63, and they have six apas, which is about 4 acres, 3 to 4 acres of land. So they're doing very well and have somehow managed. Remember, they got married in 1663, so they had at least 15, 17 good years. It is said that Adrian would pass away a little bit after the census. Let's have a look. We do not have a record of the death of Adrian, but we know that he probably passed away sometime between 1681 and 1684. He would have been about 78 years old and would have been married about 20 years, which for the times and their ages, pretty amazing. Now hold on to your hats. Anne would go on to live another 40 years, dying on September 30th, 1718, making her between 99 and 100 years of age. Just phenomenal. Just phenomenal. But that's not why I picked her. That's not why I picked her. Remember that Anne had one son, only one son, and his name was Nicolas. And Anne has the distinction of being. Remember, I keep quoting the in 1729 they did an analysis of how many descendants of all the Feijoas. I don't know if it was done in 1729, but that's the date of it. And Anne has the distinction of having the most descendants. She had, as of 1727, 304 descendants from this one son. Now, Roy happens to be one of the, it is the number one name in Quebec. And so there are many, different families with the name Roy. It's a very common name. It's like Smith, but certainly Nicolas would have played a part. So I normally don't do this, but I wanted to show you how one person, then one person, can affect so many. So his first son Louis married Marie Ledrun and had 11 children, seven of whom made it to adulthood. His second son, Nicolas, married Marie-Madeleine Leblanc and had six children, all of whom made it. He then married Marie-Renée Rivière and had one child who made it. Noël married Jean-Thérèse Cass and had three children, two of whom made it. He then married Marguerite Rabourin and had 14 children, 13 of whom made it. Marie-Jeanne Elisabeth married Jean Goudreau and had two children. She then married Jean Fournier and had nine children. All her children, 11 of them, made it to adulthood. Guillaume married Angélique Bazin and had 13 children, 12 of whom married. Elisabeth married Zachary Turgeon and had 13 children, 12 of whom married. Jean married Catherine Nadeau and had 12 children, seven of whom made it to adulthood. And then finally, Jean-Baptiste married Marguerite Bazet and had one child who made it. He then married Claire Cadret and had 12 children, nine of whom would have made it. This means that Anne would have had eight grandchildren from one child and 81 grandchildren. And that's how you end up with 306 descendants by 1729. Just remarkable. I had to just kind of like paint you a picture. Like, I had to see it. Like, how does this happen? And also don't forget that they started in 1663, right? So they had 60 years of, you know, probably by the time Anne would have passed, she would have had like probably great-great-grandchildren at that point, because they marry and produce so young. So just remarkable study, and I just had to explore this woman and her story a little bit. And with that, we end an extraordinary story of a woman late in life who came and contributed her one son, who in turn contributed all his children and descendants, and that makes her a phenomenal fille du roi, and she ends up being the number one descendancy as of 1729. And so with that, we thank Anne for her contribution, her long, incredible life, and certainly in Orléans, I would think, would be made a better place because of her role in it. And I can't wait to see and find out more about this remarkable woman, because you never know. It's never too late, right? So with that, I thank you, Anne, and we will bid you adieu. And until the next episode, au revoir.